Dostoevsky's Underground Man imagines a scientist telling him, "Nature doesn't consult you. It doesn't give a damn for your wishes or whether its laws please you or do not please you. You must accept it as it is." And he replies, "Good God, what do I care about the laws of nature and arithmetic if for one reason or another I do not like these laws?" At its nuttiest extreme are those with holistics in their heads, those whose reaction to reductionism takes the form of a belief in psychic energies, life forces that cannot be described in terms of the ordinary laws of inanimate nature. I would not try to answer these critics with a pep talk about the beauties of modern science. The reductionist worldview is chilling and impersonal. It has to be accepted as it is, not because we like it, but because that is the way the world works. In the middle of the spectrum of anti-reductionists, there is a group that is less disinterested and far more important. They are the scientists who are infuriated to hear it said that their branches of science rest on the deeper laws of elementary particle physics. For some years I've been wrangling about reductionism with a good friend, the evolutionary biologist Ernst Mayr, who, among other things, gave us our best working definition of a biological species. It started when, in a 1985 article, he pounced on a line in a Scientific American article, on other matters, that I had written in 1974. In this article, I had mentioned that in physics, we hope to find a few simple general laws that would explain why nature is the way it is, and that at present, the closest we can come to a unified view of nature is a description of elementary particles and their mutual interactions. Mayr, in his article, called this a horrible example of the way physicists think, and referred to me as an uncompromising reductionist. I responded in an article in Nature that I am not an uncompromising reductionist, I am a compromising reductionist. There followed a frustrating correspondence, in which Mayr outlined a classification of different sorts of reductionism and identified my particular version of this heresy. I did not understand the classification. All his categories sounded alike to me, and none of them described my own views. He, in turn, it seemed to me, did not understand the distinction that I was making between reductionism as a general prescription for progress in science, which is not my view, and reductionism as a statement of the order of nature, which I think is simply true. As far as I can understand it, Mayr distinguishes three kinds of reductionism. Constitutive reductionism, or ontological reductionism, or analysis, which is a method of studying objects by inquiring into their basic constituents, theory reductionism, which is the explanation of a whole theory in terms of a more inclusive theory, and explanatory reductionism, which is the view